We agreed to it because it seemed harmless, and we were almost done shooting. We'd only have to keep up the charade until the premiere. But the movie was so successful that the studio wanted the sequel. We were asked to keep faking. At some point, we fell for each other. The fake romance became a real one. The engagement was not a PR thing. It was real. But it fell apart 4 months ago. She's with that guy. Anyway, per our contract, until after the premiere, Amy and I can't be seen dating other people. But I'm not on a rebound. I want that to be clear. Summer's mouth hangs open as she leans back a little.
Wow, I don't know what to say. This sounds straight out of a movie, if I'm honest.
That's Hollywood for you. Lesson learned. I'll never agree to something like this again. As soon as the premiere is over, I can forget this happened. Anyway, I wanted you to know. She tilts her head to one side, asking,
Why did you kiss me?
I couldn't not kiss you. I couldn't not taste you. Her tongue darts out, wetting her lower lip. Then she tears her gaze away from mine.
I can see now why your PR team started the Smulder Tumblr page. Did they also come up with a Twitter handle? @SuperSmulder?
Nah, the fans came up with it on their own.
I don't believe a word of it. Once you admit to PR sins, there's no going back.
I love that she has no problem handing me my ass. For someone who doesn't want my autograph, you're immersed in the fandom.
I look it up purely in the name of research.
Exactly when did you think that research might be useful?
I'm not a fortune teller. Hence why it's helpful to have such info handy. I've cut my teeth by using these tactics on my siblings, so I know what I'm talking about.
We burst out laughing, and laugh until the tension between us dissipates. You're close to your family, I take it, I ask.
Close doesn't even cover it. My sisters are my best friends.
And your brother?
S, plural. You only met Daniel?
Yes.
Well, I'm one of 9 kids. They're all married, and most have children, which means I have plenty of nieces and nephews to spoil. Anyway, I have 2 sisters and 6 brothers. They're great. A tad overprotective sometimes when it comes to my dating life, but don't worry. You're safe. Won't tell them about the kiss.
Or what? They come bang down my door? I challenge.
I wouldn't put it past them.
The thought of Summer dating another guy irks me to no end. Jesus, I have to stop. One kiss doesn't give me any right over her.
We should go. It's getting late, she comments. There will be cabs at the end of the pier, I think.
A few minutes later, we reach the street. There are cabs driving in every direction. I hail one for her. I don't want our outing to end, even though I now fully realize that venturing out into the city with Summer was reckless. I'd feared Pat showing up, but it slipped my mind that anyone with a camera can snap a picture. Summer's idea for me to pass off as a wannabe double was genius, but even so, I've been pushing my luck. The studio would skewer me if I started dating someone new. I hate that they own me so thoroughly, that they have a say in my personal life. But when you're young and stupid, you sign contracts without considering the long term too much. I could invite Summer over to my house, but after the kiss, I don't want to make her uncomfortable. Even though I want to listen to her talk about her family, or her job, or St. Anne's, or anything at all, I want to spend more time with her. But the smart thing is to do the exact opposite. Summer is too sweet and lovely to deserve being swept in my Hollywood drama. So instead of inviting her to join me for a drink, I open the door to the back seat of the cab for her.
Oh, before I forget.
She rummages in her purse, handing me the cap back. Thanks. I'll walk around a bit more. I tilt my head down to kiss her cheek just as she shifts to climb inside, and my lips land near her earlobe. I kiss her there, then trace my mouth to where a regular kiss should land. She lets out a sound so delicious, I barely keep myself from pinning her against the car and capturing her mouth. Summer kisses my cheek too, a peck so quick I barely feel it. She avoids my gaze as she lowers herself into the back seat, and I close her door. As I head toward the ferry building, I catch myself almost jogging and slow down, smiling. Summer's voice popping into my head. Step 1 to enjoying a walk, move slow. I laugh, measuring my steps, wondering if Summer would approve of the pace.
Chapter 6. Summer. I crumple the sheet of paper, tossing it in the pile of discarded, scrunched sheets in the middle of my living room. In the winter, I toss them directly into the brick fireplace. Rainy Sundays like today are perfect for painting, but my creative juices aren't cooperating, possibly because I have other things on my mind. I read a disturbing article this morning. The ongoing Amy Alex narrative took a nasty turn. Now the tabloids want to paint him as a cheater, and I hope to God our kiss on Friday didn't have anything to do with it. I'm about to start with a blank sheet when my phone buzzes. Glancing at it, I see St. Anne's on the screen and immediately answer. Hey, Shauna. What's up? I stand, rolling my shoulders and swinging my hips from one side to the other. I've been kneeling in front of my coffee table, bending over it long enough for my body to stiffen. Hey, Summer. How's everything going? Busy bee as usual? You know me. Listen, I wanted to talk to you about the camp. I'm helping her organize a camp for the kids at Lake Tahoe. It starts right after the kids finish the school year. It's a huge favor. They loved having Alex here, loved it. Do you think he'd be open to stopping by the camp at Lake Tahoe and showing the kids some more stunt tricks? Or maybe even short acting classes? I don't know his schedule, and the lake is hours away. I rub the stiff side of my neck, my wheels spinning. He's welcome to stay at the resort with us, of course, but I imagine he's too busy for that. I imagine that, too. But will you ask him? Seems like a lot to ask. I don't want to put him in an uncomfortable position. How close are you to him? What a loaded question after that amazeballs kiss. I'm still reeling from it, 2 days later. Not very close, but I'll talk to him. Thank you, Summer. I can't tell you how grateful I am for everything you're doing. Oh, stop, Shauna. You're making me blush. Or are you just buttering me up so I don't give up until I get some sort of promise out of Alex? Shucks, I'm that transparent, huh? Just a tiny bit. I'll talk to him and let you know what he says. Thanks, Summer. After clicking off, I decide to try Alex right away. He doesn't answer his phone, though, so I return to my painting process, facing the blank sheet again. An idea strikes me, and I sketch two crossing, undulating lines in pencil. My phone buzzes before I manage to start the third line. Alex. Clearing my throat, I pick up.
Hey, sorry, I was on the treadmill when you called.
No problem. Thanks for calling back. I just spoke with Shauna from St. Anne's, and we have a huge favor to ask.
I'm listening.
We're organizing this camp for the kids at Lake Tahoe. They're going to have Spanish lessons in the morning and all sorts of activities in the afternoon. For example, I'm going to teach painting, and we were wondering if you could stop by and teach them some more stunts and tricks, maybe an acting class.
When is this exactly?
Starts Monday in 1 week, lasts for 2 weeks.
Which days are you driving up there?
Oh, I'm staying there.
For the entire 2 weeks?
Yes. It'll be a vacation for me, too.
Okay, wait. I'm checking my calendar now. My manager marks all my appointments on it.
I sit cross-legged on my floor, absent-mindedly tracing my thumb on the green and golden woolen carpet.
Right. I need to fly out to L.A. for 1 day, but other than that, I'm free.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Don't you have 2 premieres coming up?
I do, but things only kick up hard in the month leading up to it. And the premiere month itself.
So, on which days do you want to drive to the lake? Or I can arrange a driver for you.
I could stay there for the duration of the camp. Think up an acting workshop.
Are you sure? I mean, it's awfully nice of you, but that's a big-time commitment.
2 weeks isn't such a long time. I'm currently reading scripts. I can do that there, too. Besides, my sister and her family just left on a month-long trip to Europe, so I don't have much going on here.
I've helped Daniel organize a few events for his famous clients, and I know that people with Alex's pockets and status can always have something going on if they want to. And usually, they opt for something much flashier than volunteering. especially if they don't use it for PR purposes. The desire to peel back more layers and find out what lies under that gorgeous smile slams into me. I could do that in 2 weeks, a naughty voice pipes up at the back of my mind. Hot white energy strums through my body at the thought. Bad, bad thought. I hug my knees to my chest, resting my chin on the right kneecap. I'll do some research on the best hotels in the area and send you some options, I say.
Where are you staying?
In the resort where the camp's taking place.
Any reason I can't stay there too?
It's not a 5-star hotel.
I don't mind. Besides, I'd be lonely, living separately from everyone else. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
That bad thought circles back. All because of a kiss, which I should really forget. We kissed, we talked, we moved on. Okay, got it. I'll set everything up. The kids are going to be very happy.
So am I. Before I forget, I have the same request again. No PR, no pics.
That goes without saying, at least to the extent I can influence it. We'll ask the workers at the resort to respect your privacy, but you know that doesn't always work out.
I know, but hey, I'll have you with me, my savior.
That makes me laugh. Hardly, but I'll do what I can. I tap my fingers on the floor, wondering if I should bring up that article I read. If I were Alex, I'd avoid reading the press like the plague, but maybe this is something he needs to be alerted to. Listen, I read an article today.
The one calling me a cheater?
The humor all but evaporated from his voice, which now has an edge I don't like. Sorry to bring it up. I was just wondering if it had anything to do with Friday.
No, that's just speculation. If there was a pic of us kissing, it would have already made the rounds, and the studio would be at my throat.
I startle as an unpleasant smell coming from the kitchen reaches my nostrils, then spring to my feet. Crap, I forgot I had a pizza in the oven. I pray to all the gods the smoke detectors don't go off as I open the door to the oven and smoke whirls out. My pizza is burnt to the crisp. Shit, there goes my dinner, I mutter.
You make your own pizza?
Not usually. I order from my favorite Italian restaurant, Vicente's, but they're closed on Sunday. It's the best pizza.
I have a hard time believing that.
Oh, you better believe it, mister. I lived in Rome, and Vicente's is better than anything I ate, even in Italy. I pull out the pizza and poke at it to see if something is salvageable. I think I can eat some of the vegetables on it, I mutter to myself. The pepperoni is only half burnt, and the artichokes aren't entirely black.
That's a lousy dinner.
I know. Maybe I'll just order something else later. I'm not even that hungry, but I have to clean the kitchen now, or my entire living room will stink. I'll email you all the details about the camp later, okay?
Perfect. Take care, Summer.
Cleaning up takes longer than I hoped. The mozzarella overflowed on the metal tray. My right arm aches, but at least the damn thing is close to squeaky clean. I straighten up when my bell rings. Maybe one of my siblings decided on an impromptu visit? It's not uncommon in my family, even though we usually call or message as a heads up. Swinging the door open, Carlo, one of Vicente's delivery guys, greets me.
Evening, Miss Bennett. I have your pizza here.
Stunned, I take the box he hands me. I didn't order. And you're closed today. Carlo smiles knowingly.
Special delivery.
Okay, I say slowly. Let me get my wallet.
All paid for. Enjoy your evening, Miss Bennett.
He takes off before I can ask for more details. After shutting the door, I grab a roll of napkins from the kitchen and head to my living room. Sitting on the floor, I open the box. My favorite pizza to boot. A smile plays on my lips. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I suspect who the sender was. But how? Why? As if on cue, an incoming message pops on my phone with a photo of a pizza that is identical to mine. Alex.
You're right. It's the best damn pizza.
Summer, how did you make this happen?
Alex, there are advantages to being a star.
Biting into a slice of pizza, I succumb to the pleasure of the flavorful mix. Knowing we're sharing dinner, even from a distance, fills me with warmth. Summer, thanks. Alex,
I'm a useful friend to keep around. It's not all about helping me pretend I'm someone else, I promise.
Summer, can I give you a list of my favorite restaurants, friend? Feeling feisty, I type another message. Summer, can you have food delivered from other cities too?
Alex, you'll be surprised at what I can do.
Sighing, I shove the last bite of the slice in my mouth. I know I'm being ridiculous, but a man hasn't made me feel this special in a long time. Maybe ever. I'm starting to like this friend zone thing. Summer, I'll send you the details about the camp as soon as I finish my pizza.
Alex, take your time.
After I finish eating, I open my laptop, cramming all the information about the camp into one email, trying very hard not to think about Alex's kiss-worthy lips and bite-worthy biceps, and definitely not thinking about that squeeze-worthy ass. Chapter 7. Summer. There are several perks of being the youngest in my family. Growing up, everyone had their place in the family hierarchy. Sebastian, Logan, and Pippo were the responsible ones, always looking after all of us. Alice was next in line, and I swear she was born kicking ass. My family didn't come from money, and until the oldest trio set up Bennett Enterprises, we were scraping by. I don't remember those times much, because I was a kid, but my parents made sure we youngsters didn't become spoiled brats. Guess who was the official whipcracker, bossing us into doing tasks around the house? Alice. Christopher and Max, the first pair of twins, were the official family pranksters, playing the identical twin card every chance they got. Daniel and Blake, the second pair of twins, tried to emulate Christopher and Max, but since they couldn't dethrone the pranksters, they became troublemakers. And then there was little old me, poking my nose in everyone's business, and generally being spoiled by everyone. I can now return the favor by spoiling my nieces and nephews. I have an entire brood to throw birthday parties for. In another life, I'd be an event planner. I love organizing events, birthday parties, bachelorette parties, weddings. It's my thing. I'm good at it. Sometimes I go overboard, but hey, no one's perfect. And no one could say I didn't go overboard for Audrey's birthday party, if the number of balloons hanging from the ceiling of my brother Sebastian's living room is an indication. The theme is Frozen, so we have many Olafs everywhere.
You've really gone overboard, Sebastian says, sliding an arm around my shoulders.
I elbow his ribs lightly. I think you mean to say you're the best sister in the world, and you've outdone yourself. What would I do without you? But you have to say it like you believe it. He chuckles and kisses my forehead.
I'm so lucky you can read between the lines. Thanks for organizing all this.
How are you? I inquire. A few months ago, he and his wife welcomed twins, a boy and a girl. They have their hands full with them, in addition to Audrey and their son Will, so they gave me free rein with the organization.
Okay.
I sigh. Of course he'd say that. Getting my brother to admit the truth usually requires sneaky interrogation skills and emotional blackmail. But I have an inkling I'll wear him down faster today, what with the mayhem surrounding us. I tilt my head. How are you really? Okay doesn't count. I need a full sentence. If you're feeling generous, you can even dish out sentences, plural. I promise to reduce the nagging accordingly.
I'm tired. Both Ava and I are tired. But that doesn't mean we're not okay. We're learning that we should have valued sleep more when we had just Will and Audrey. I'm still trying to sell Ava on having a permanent nanny.
Right now, they have someone helping them through the day, but I can see what he means. Raising four kids while they both work? as I watch the general commotion in the room, then focus on my sister Pippa walking toward us, my wheels are spinning. I hold up a finger. I have an idea. I can organize a spa day at home with the girls, and we can talk her into it. We can be very persuasive.
And very, very full of yourself. Why do you think you can convince my wife when I can't?
Pippa joins us, indulging in a turkey sandwich. Between bites, she says, "Because talking to girlfriends is different. Sometimes admitting to your man that you can't do it all on your own makes you feel like you're not enough." I nod sagely. What she said.
"But we're together in this," Sebastian argues.
"Trust me." As an afterthought, Pippa adds, "Plus, we have skills you lack, brother." Yeah, listen to Pippa. She's wise. Sebastian pulls me closer to him and hooks his other arm around Pippa's waist.
"Well, if you manage to convince her, I'll take you two out to dinner."
Oh, my brother is a jokester. Now, see, I feel like we should get more out of this than a dinner.
"Well, whatever the two of you come up with, I'll be glad to indulge. Just make sure my wife relaxes that day and has a good time."
"We will," Pippa promises. As my brother heads to the bunch of kids grouped in the center of the room, I wonder for the millionth time if he's actually human. He runs a billion-dollar corporation, finds time to woo his wife, and raise four little souls. I'm still going with a radioactive spider bite. Possibly vampire. Though I need a good reason for why he can walk in the sun. "Can we schedule the girls' day after I return from Lake Tahoe?" I ask Pippa. "Sure. How did Olivia react to you taking off for 2 weeks?" "Not happy, but nothing she can do about it. I have a lot of accrued vacation time." I shrug, heading to the buffet with my sister on my heels. "Plus, that place is up and running mostly because of you." "That too. I don't like to toot my own horn, but I kick ass at the gallery." "Just saying, but you should think about opening your own again. You have far more experience than the first time around. And being your own boss has its perks," she says as I load my plate with a second serving of cake. After graduation, I felt on top of the world. I wanted to open my own gallery. My three oldest siblings, Sebastian, Logan, and Pippa, founded a jewelry company years ago, and it was wildly successful. They gave each member of the family shares in Bennett Enterprises, regardless if we were working for them or not, so I had money to fund the dream. The gallery didn't bring enough revenue to even pay the fixed costs. Sebastian and Logan insisted I didn't have to close it. After all, I could use the money from Bennett Enterprises to cover the costs, but I manned up and closed it. I didn't want to be that person who lived off her siblings' work. My sister Alice and my brothers Blake and Daniel are their own bosses. Neither of them work at Bennett Enterprises. Alice and Blake co-own restaurants and bars, and Daniel runs an adventure center. Of course, they built their businesses on a cutthroat business plan. I approached the gallery with a dreamy enthusiasm, overlooking some serious flaws in the plan. I know what Pippa is saying, but this is not the moment to start making plans. "This is a birthday party. No work talk. Come on, let's find Alice and plot Ava's downfall." We find our sister Alice on the L-shaped couch we've dragged into a corner of the room to open up the space for the party. Pippa and I barely plop our asses on the soft cushions when Daniel walks up to us.
"I've been meaning to ask, how did it go with Alex?" he inquires.
"Okay. The kids loved him. He was very sweet with them. Patient."
"He's going to St. Anne's again?"
I shrug. "Maybe. He's joining the Lake Tahoe camp." On my right, Alice stills. On my left, Pippa leans back.
"Wow, that's one A-lister with a lot of free time," Daniel says.
I shrug again. "He's not filming anything now, and he's got some time until he starts the promo tours."
"Let me know if you need anything,"
Daniel offers, shoving his hands in his pockets and returning to the party. Meanwhile, my sister's gazes are skewering me. Alice speaks first. You know, Pippa, I have the feeling our baby sister has been holding out on us. I agree. Something doesn't add up. She's been mentioning Alex in every sentence today. That's not true, I say indignantly. Only every other sentence. Alice shakes her head. But she's failed to mention that she'll spend the next 2 weeks with him. That's not true either. He's spending time at the camp. I'm spending time at the camp. But we're not spending it together. Pippa grins. She's rambling. Oh, God. Stop talking about me in the third person. Alice steals a bit of my cake, shoving it in her mouth. Of course, as soon as you tell us everything. That kiss made a lasting impression, huh? I called them right away after getting home on Friday and spilled everything. You didn't meet him. He's even more charming than on screen. You'd have the hots for him, too. Alice feigns shock. No, I'm married. So am I, Pippa reminds me. I still can't believe you made out with one of the hottest men in the world, Alice says. Pippa gives me a probing look. You'll be careful, right? You'll be spending 2 weeks with him, and I just don't want you to get hurt. We all know you're an incurable romantic. I point a finger at her. Whose fault is that? You got me on the whole happily ever after train. Yep, I'm one of those creatures feared by men worldwide. The kind who has dreamed about her wedding since she was a little girl. I knew the type of dress I wanted ever since I skimmed my first bridal magazine. Besides, you're projecting way too much. It was just a kiss, because the surrounding was super romantic. It was such a delicious kiss. It held so much intent and sinful promises that my toes still curl thinking about it. But the thought that someone of Alex's caliber has given it half as much thought as I did is ridiculous. He's lip-locked with some of the most gorgeous beauties who've graced the red carpet, Amy notwithstanding. Alice wiggles her eyebrows. A kiss with the Alex Westbrook? It dawns on me that Pippa's quiet. Pippa, like me, is never quiet unless she's cooking up something. I'm almost afraid of what's going to come out of her mouth next. How was it? Pippa asks in a low, conspiratorial whisper. Worth repeating? Yep, I was 100% right to be afraid, because now she brought forth the one thought I've been fighting to bury in the back of my mind. You two are a bad influence. You're my older sisters. You're supposed to talk sense into me. Alice cocks a brow, giving my cake longing looks. Unfortunately, there is nowhere for me to shift it so that it's out of her reach. I'm flanked on both sides. Alice is the known food thief in our family, and I have no intention of sharing my cake. Sometimes a little fun is just what the doctor ordered, Alice muses. Right, that's it. I'm officially downgrading you from my trusted advisors to untrustworthy, corrupt influencers, I announce. Pippa flashes me a grin. What would you do without us, though? Actually, I know exactly what I'd do, because I was on my own in Rome. I loved the city, the food, and working at the museum, but I missed my family so much. It was like a physical ache I carried around with me. Then, after I returned, Alice moved to London for a while, but that was a bit easier to bear because at least I was close to the rest of my family. But I'm so happy that she and her husband moved back to San Francisco. I love it when the three of us are together, plotting and laughing, and plotting some more. I wish they hadn't fed the little devil on my shoulder, the one that spawns unruly, wicked thoughts of more kissing. But now that they have, well, bring it on.
Chapter 8. Alex. Next Monday, I hop in my new car at 9 a.m., armed with coffee for the 3-hour drive to Lake Tahoe. When I make it past the city limits, my manager, Preston, calls me. I put him on loudspeaker. Hey, Preston. Already at Lake Tahoe? On my way. And you're sure you don't want to alert TMZ? Other outlets will pick up the story. It'll be great for your image. This is gold for the public. Especially since the media is now running away with the story that your cheating caused the breakup. No, I don't want press. Spending time with those kids at St. Anne felt like the best thing I'd done in a long time. It's easy to forget movies aren't all about box office and awards. That at the front and center, it's really about entertaining people. Away from the camera, I can lower my guard and interact with them rather than act for them. And that's what they need. To see the human side of the superhero on screen. I don't want to bring the press into this. Turn it into a PR circus where it'll be all about the best angle, the widest and fakest smile. Fine, have it your way. I don't need to remind you to keep a low profile where women are concerned. No, you don't. Well, thought I'd do it anyway. Just talked to the studio this morning, and they reminded me to remind you that per your contract, you can't be seen dating other women until the premiere. I'm going to take this a step further and advise you not to be seen with women in public at all. The tabloids will spin it into something it's not. I know this isn't an ideal situation, but there are only a few months until the premiere. Then you'll be a free agent. Until then, just make sure you don't fall into bed with a resort employee or something. You know better than to get involved with anyone outside the industry. I've got to go. Some advertising contracts just came in. Keep in touch. Let me know if you change your mind about the reporters. I won't. His comment about not dating anyone outside the acting scene nags at me long after the line goes static. In my early days in Hollywood, I naively thought I could strive for the A-list and keep my old life. I had a rude wake-up call when the relationship with my high school girlfriend fell apart. I tried dating someone outside the industry one more time, 2 years later, but that didn't work out either. I started to understand why actors usually date actors. People in the industry know how things work, the sacrifices required. The time spent apart on different sets, the lack of privacy, having most of your time planned out months in advance. It isn't fair to ask any woman to put up with that, if she doesn't have to anyway, for her own career. When I arrive at the resort, there's no bus in the parking lot, so I assume the kids haven't arrived yet. Summer said the entire St. Anne's group will travel in a school bus. The four-star resort has a quaint, fisherman's village air to it. The main building houses the reception, the restaurant, and the conference rooms where some of the kids' classes will take place. The rooms are grouped in small bungalows across the property, spilling onto the waterfront.
If there's anything more I can do, Mr. Westbrook, please, let me know.
The receptionist smiles, her eyes traveling up and down my body.
You can call the reception any time. I can give you my personal number, too.
That won't be necessary, I say coolly. Grabbing the key, she slides me across the counter. She looks a little insulted at the brush-off, but I've learned it's best to cut off these things at the pass. Following the signs on the property, I roll my suitcase on the path, snaking between the trees, right until the perfectly manicured green lawn spills onto the waterfront. My bungalow is only a stone's throw away from the water, and a solid walk from the other bungalows. As I approach, I hear two female voices.
I am not allowed to let anyone inside,
the unknown voice says.
I received specific instructions.
I know,
Summer says with exasperation.
I gave those instructions. I didn't mean myself.
Rounding the corner, the two come into view. A redhead wearing the same uniform as the receptionist stands in front of the door, arms crossed. I can only see Summer's back, but damn what a sight. She's wearing a white, short dress. My mouth waters as I take in the shape of her ass and the swell of her hips. She's not tall, but in this dress, her legs look endless.
I'm telling you, I know him. And I'm not leaving until you let me in.
Summer plants her hands on her hips, channeling all that fierceness inside her. This woman is a well of passion. I had a taste of that the night I kissed her, but I know I just tapped the surface. An image of her wrapping her legs around my waist flashes in my mind, but I push it away, forcing my feet up the stairs leading to the porch of the bungalow. The redhead's eyes widen. Summer turns her head and sighs in obvious relief.
Oh, you're here, thank God. Maybe she'll believe you if you say that I'm not a crazy groupie.
I offer more than words. I rest my arm on Summer's shoulders, pulling her into my side. Damn, she feels like she belongs here. She melts into me, clearly feeling just as at ease. It's as if our bodies are already familiar with each other. Summer is a dear friend, always welcome to my bungalow.
My apologies, Mr. Westbrook, Ms. Bennett. I thought I didn't... I'll just leave now.
Stuttering, she says goodbye and takes off. Summer sighs, but doesn't pull away from me.
Thank you. That show went on for 10 minutes. I was running out of steam.
Looked to me like you had plenty of steam left. I dip my gaze, inspecting the front, too. The dress isn't very low cut, so I can just see the tops of her breasts. But it's enough to stir my fantasy again. When Summer clears her throat, I snap my gaze up. She cocks a brow, but her tongue darts out, wetting her lower lip. Then she steps out from under my arm, as if just now realizing we were entangled in a half-embrace. She plucks her purse from the bench under the window. Unlocking the door, I push it open. Color me impressed. This place is huge.
Well, it's their best room.
Summer steps in behind me, glancing around.
It's the only bungalow with just one room. And I thought you'd appreciate the lack of neighbors. All others have between 2 and 5 rooms.
I do appreciate the privacy. Very thoughtful of you. Thanks. She smiles, twisting a strand of hair between her fingers.
Anyway, I told them to instruct the staff not to let strangers in your room under any pretext. You know, in case any real groupies or stalkers show up. I figured that might happen, what with your face appearing on every second tabloid.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. I can't wait for the premiere to be over. The press attention is getting out of control.
Well, as you can see, my plan backfired quickly.
Why were you trying to get in my room?
Guess.
She tilts her head, smiling. Her sass eggs me on. I step closer until I can smell her perfume. A delicious floral combo that makes me want to lick each morsel of her skin. I'd start with her mouth, make my way down her neck, then lower to her breasts. Almost unconsciously, I dip my gaze to her cleavage. And fuck me. Her nipples press against the fabric of her dress. I imagine they're hard as pebbles, begging for a lick. Summer clears her throat again, opening her purse and taking out a small brochure before I have a chance to join in on her guessing game, as if she's afraid of my answer. Good. She should be.
I printed out the schedule of the lessons. I know we all have it electronically, but it's nice to have it printed out.
It is. I'm a big fan of print. I read all my scripts printed out.
Oh, you tree killer.
I pointed to the schedule she places on the table. Pot, kettle. Thank you for getting me this bungalow. And for placing rules to keep unwanted guests out. You seem to have experience with this kind of things.
My family has had a fair share of run-ins with the press. Bennett Enterprises has brought us a lot of attention.
I believe that, considering half of Hollywood wears their jewelry. And there have been enough articles written about the company.
I'll leave you to settle in. The others will arrive in a few hours, she says.
I don't need to settle in. Do you want to grab lunch? She pats her stomach, quirking her lips.
Okay. Do you want to go to the main restaurant? It'll be full of people, though. For the rest of the meals, I've asked them to set us all up in a separate room at the back of the restaurant. We're a large enough group to warrant the effort, but since it's just the two of us now, we could order room service. Eat it here on the deck? Oh, or we could spread a towel right in front of the water.
Room service it is. I don't want the attention in the restaurant, and I want Summer to myself for a while longer. 10 minutes later, we're sitting on the grass, a towel spread out in front of us. I ordered a burger and fries from the menu. Summer, a burrito with avocado dip. Why are you in charge of the schedule? I ask.
I organized the camp. Thought the kids could do with a change of scenery.
Who's paying for the gig? I paid my own room, but a 2-week stay in a 4-star resort for so many people amounts to a pretty sum.
I am. I mean, the money I donate isn't mine, technically. Sebastian gave all of his siblings shares in Bennett Enterprises. But I don't need the money, so...
She shrugs. But I'll be damned if I'll let her downplay it. This is incredible. She is incredible. I haven't seen you on the list of donors, I say.
Like you, I don't want to make a fuss out of it.
Ah, a woman after my own heart. In Hollywood circles, donations are mostly a form of PR. I shift closer to her, touching her arm, resting my hand on her shoulder. Summer expels a sharp breath, her skin breaking out in goosebumps where I touch her. Her reaction to me is intoxicating. But when our gazes lock, I know that this thing between us runs deeper. I feel wired to her, and I don't want to break this connection, even if it would be the smart thing to do. I can't pull Summer into my messy life. I move even closer to her until our hips are touching. We're half turned to one another, and I cup one of her cheeks, tilting her head up. You're doing a very good thing, Summer. Be proud of it.
I am.
Nodding, she looks away, stretching her legs, kicking off her sandals.
I think I'll book myself a foot massage.
She has a ring on her left middle toe, and it looks sexy as fuck. I eye her ankles, remembering how she reacted when I held them during our stunt exercise at St. Anne's. I make a move to grab one foot to give her a head start on that massage. But Summer shifts at the same time, and I grip her thigh instead. My cock stirs in my boxers. Summer lets out a low sound, almost like a moan. She snaps her gaze from the point of contact up to my lips. It takes a superhuman effort not to move my hand further under her dress, to touch and explore her smooth skin. Even though it's the last thing I want, I pry my fingers away. Summer's cheeks turn pink.
Well, I have to go prepare a few things until the group arrives. Thank you for lunch.
She makes a motion to push herself up. I'm quicker, rising to my feet, then taking her hand and pulling her up, too. You're welcome.
What stunts are you planning to show the kids? Are they safe?
Of course they are. You'll see.
I like to be prepared,
she challenges. Ah, there it is. I like when she uses her fire on my behalf, but I like it even more when it's directed at me. I lean in until our lips are just a whisper apart, and push a strand of her hair behind her ear. Her light brown waves are silky and soft, and now I want to thread my fingers through them, grip them, guide her head down my body. Jesus. I step back, so she's out of my reach. I think you like being surprised more, Summer.
Stars. They think they know better than the rest of us.
She rolls her eyes, but her voice is breathy. I have 14 days to lure out your adventurous side, Summer. Don't challenge me.
Why not? Because you don't like challenges?
Because I win them. She laughs, shaking her head.
See you around, Alex.
Yeah. She definitely will see me around. A lot.
Chapter 9. Summer. My heart skitters like mad while I bid Alex goodbye. I head straight to my bungalow, holding my sandals in one hand, walking barefoot on the pathway. My skin still hot where he touched me, as if he left an imprint on me. Now, if there would be a way for me to find out what he's planning to show the kids, but where to begin my snooping? I have a long history of snooping around. Goes with the territory of being the family's baby, I suppose. I was always in everyone's business, and got away with it, too. One of my first memories is of emotionally blackmailing my siblings into not getting mad at me by making puppy dog eyes and giving them sloppy kisses on their cheeks. I take in my bungalow wistfully. It's two rows away from the waterfront. If I strategically place my lounge chair on the porch, I can spot the water, but it's nothing compared to Alex's view. Maybe I should change tactics, and instead of snooping on his teaching plans, I should put my snooping skills to better use, such as persuading him to more lunches out there so I can enjoy the view and his company. I loved sitting there talking to him. I felt like he was listening to me, really paying attention. When I brought up the tabloids, there was no mistaking the shadow that fell over him. I wanted to soothe him, but I had no idea how. Usually, I wish I had magic powers so I can turn all baked goods calorie-free. But if I had magic powers right now, I'd use them to make him forget his life is splashed over the tabloids. Unfortunately, I don't have any magical powers. But what I lack in supernatural abilities, I make up for in persuasion and determination. So before heading to the reception to welcome the group, I stop by the resort's shop, inspecting the stand with magazines. As I expected, half the shelf space is dedicated to gossip magazines, and half of those have Alex and Amy's saga splashed on the cover. "Hi, may I help you?" the vendor, a pretty blonde, asks. "Yes, here's the thing. You probably heard Alex Westbrook is a guest at the resort." She nods excitedly. "Yes. You understand how uncomfortable it would be for him to see guests reading this." I point to the magazine whose cover he graces. "Oh," her smile drops. "I can't do anything about it." "Here's a suggestion. What if you forget to place an order for them for the next 2 weeks? It's always the same publications that run these stories." She shakes her head, and I feel a vein twitching in my temple. "Can't. The orders are placed automatically. And even so, the store owner would throw a fit. There are best-selling products right now. People come in asking for them." I rub the back of my neck, attempting to dissipate the tension gathering there. Why do people enjoy so much reading about others' misery? "I'll make you a deal. I will buy all those magazines. When you get the delivery, sort out all publications featuring Alex and Amy and bring them straight to my room. I used this exact tactic before, after Pippa filed for divorce from the asshole that was her first husband. Alice and I took her to a spa retreat. I went to the hotel shop to buy sunscreen, and I saw my sister's name in a gossip magazine. I bought every single copy." The blonde stares at me. "We get about 50 copies of each. That's a lot of..." "Doesn't matter. I'll pay you up front if you want. Just bring them straight to my room. If anyone asks, your boss or the resort customers, just say they sold out. Start by giving me all the copies you have right now." She shifts her weight from one foot to the other, glancing at the stack of magazines before nodding. "I suppose it's fair game. You're buying them, after all." "Great. Can you take them to my room? I'll need to be at the reception." "Sure thing. I'll just put a sign on the door that I'll be back in 10 minutes. "Thank you." After paying, I leave the shop with a pep in my step. The hotel guests could always go out and buy magazines, but the resort is all-inclusive, so most people don't have a reason to go outside. I'm banking on their laziness, trumping their thirst for scandal. Over the next 2 days, I keep a close eye on the guests' reading material, but Alex's name or face doesn't stare back at me from any cover. So far, it seems my bet is paying off. Word spreads that he's in the resort, though, and he signs so many autographs that I'm surprised his arm doesn't fall off. The camp schedule is a little frantic for the kids, what with the Spanish lessons in the morning and all the activities in the afternoon. I, on the other hand, am a woman of leisure. I teach painting for a few hours. Other than that, I fill my time with lying in the sun and spying on Alex's classes. It was completely unintentional on day one. I was sitting in the sun when the sound of his voice caught my attention. He brought the youngest group to the corner of the waterfront I've asked the hotel to reserve exclusively for our group. Midway through his demonstration of a stunt, which included some fight moves and throwing himself on the grass, he took his shirt off. All that taut skin on display made me break out in a sweat, and also swear, because I wasn't close enough to see him properly. I solved this issue the next day, placing my sunbed strategically closer to their practice spot. I turned my sunbed at a perfect angle. One could easily assume I chose the angle to see the sunset better. I also have a book with me, and I can peek from behind it without it being too obvious. Even though the end of June at Lake Tahoe isn't exactly hot, I'm still determined to soak in as much sun as possible. The view is absolutely gorgeous. Perfect blue water surrounded by mountain peaks and a clear sky. If I could marry Lake Tahoe, I would. When Alex arrives, with the kids in tow, I sit up a little higher in my sunbed. A few short minutes later, He pauses his stunt performance and takes off his shirt again. Holy Pop-Tarts and cupcakes. I've seen him shirtless on magazine covers and in his movies, but nothing beats seeing him live. All those lean, defined muscles. I don't know where to look first. His chiseled abs or those fantabulous biceps. This would be an excellent moment for him to ask for my assistance. I don't even care what I'd have to do. Plus points if it involves skin-on-skin contact. How would those strong arms feel around me, pulling me to him so I could feel every inch of that incredible chest? The longer I look, the more surreal his body seems. I mean, I knew he had a rigorous training regimen for his superhero role, but I assumed he laid it off in his free time. Evidently not.
Summer, do you have anything to drink? I just finished my water bottle, Alex calls.
His voice snaps me out of my daydream. Good God, did he see me looking? Even though I'm wearing sunglasses, I lower my gaze to the grass, willing my thoughts to scramble in their place. Ice-cold lemonade. He strides toward me, and while he downs a gulp, my phone, which lies face up next to my thigh on the sunbed, lights up. With a notification from Soul Dates, the infamous dating app, I scramble to hide it, but only manage to draw Alex's attention to the phone.
You're on Soul Dates?
He asks incredulously. A work colleague signed me up, swore it can't get worse than my dating history, and she had a point. I sure have enough bad experiences. Mommy's boy, daddy's boy, the cheater, the egomaniac, the one who doesn't want a relationship, the one who does want a relationship, but then bolts because I require too much attention. The list goes on. He sets the glass on the small table next to my sunbed, lowering himself on his haunches. His jaw ticks, like what I said makes him mad, but he doesn't say anything. I slip right into crazy defensive mode. Don't judge me.
I'm not judging.
Oh yeah? Then what's that clenched jaw about, huh? And the narrowed eyes?
I'm worried about you. I don't want you to get hurt. You really think you'll find...
He seems to be weighing his words carefully. Meanwhile, I'm melting a bit at the idea of being important enough to him that he worries about me.
You really think Soul Dates is the way to go?
I deflate. No, I only let her install it because she was nagging. I was thinking about deleting it.
You do that.
Would you sleep better if I did? I grin, suddenly feeling like prodding is in order. Why exactly does he care? How much does he care?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, Mr. Bizarrely Protective. Fiddling with my phone, I delete the app, then show him my screen. Now, go back to kicking ass. You're really good with those fake takedowns.
I'm good at a lot of things.
His gaze drops to my mouth before snapping back up. We're still talking about stunts? I challenge.
What else?
He winks, his face breaking into that smile I love so much. A few drops of sweat trickle down that gorgeous chest. He's so lickable. I catch myself drawing my tongue over my lower lip. My nipples have perked up. When our gazes cross, I hold up my book, signaling I want to get back to it. Mercifully, he rises to his feet and turns his attention to the kids again, this time giving me a view of his back. He's wearing jeans, which I find a singularly terrible choice of clothes. I mean, we're at the lake. The sun is shining. Couldn't he grace some shorts? With a sigh, I snap my focus on the book. Tempting as it is to keep glancing at Alex, I don't want to give off the wrong vibe. I've always had a penchant for choosing the wrong men, but an actor whose contract dictates his love life and who was engaged would be an exceptionally huge mistake. But looking never hurt. Why not indulge in the muscle fest taking place right in front of me? Lowering my book just a smidge, I discover I'm excellent at juggling two activities, reading and Alex gazing. As the day goes on, I catch him looking at me almost as often as he catches me looking at him. Oh, man. There are only so many times I can pass off his winks as eye twitches, or his blatant perusal as lazy eye syndrome. Whether he wants to flirt, that's another story. All signs point to no. When I catch him in the act, he glances the other way. But then he goes and does it again, as if he can't help himself, which makes it even hotter. Chapter 10. Summer. 2 days later, I wake up too late, and I run to the breakfast room as if something's chasing me. Our group has its own open buffet in the separate room, where we have all our meals, but muffins are popular. If I don't make it to breakfast in time, there won't be any left. To my utter disappointment, I was right.
Summer, come here.
Alex motions me to join him at his table, which is empty otherwise. Claudia, one of the Spanish teachers, and the three other supervisors usually sitting with us are already gone. The kids, too. I grab some ham, tomatoes, and bread before heading to the table.
Here, look what I saved you.
He points to the plate in front of him, which contains two muffins. For me? I ask unnecessarily, thrilled to the tips of my toes.
Yeah.
How did you know?
First day, you gave Claudia the stink eye when she asked if she could have one of your muffins, since you had two and there were none left. And yesterday, you told Billy he had to wash his hands because he'd been patting a stray cat. Then you took the last muffin.
That was for his own good, I protest. He'd already had five.
Liar. You did it because you wanted the muffin for yourself. Admit it.
Setting my elbows on the table, I drop my face in my hands and whisper, Okay, I admit it. I know it was selfish, but I just really needed that one bite. Kicking his leg playfully under the table, I attack the muffin. The cherry and chocolate flavor melts on my tongue. Parts of me melt, too, as I realize how much attention he's been paying to me. Maybe it's silly to put so much stock in such a little thing, but it makes me feel cared for. Important.
I'm going out on the water with a jet ski in about an hour. Want to join me?
He asks. Thanks, but no. I don't like being too far from shore. I don't like deep water.
Why? You can't swim?
Oh, I do swim. But I nearly drowned when I was little. And every time I don't feel the bottom of the sea or the pool, I panic.
That blows. But sometimes pushing against a fear pays off. I wouldn't let anything happen to you.
His expression is warm and reassuring, and I believe him. It's astonishing how much I trust him. I'm sharing things with him I usually only talk about to my family, and I fear I've started down a slippery path. Along with trust, I tend to give my heart. I weigh the pros and cons of taking him up on his offer. I always did want to fight this irrational panic, but I feel a tingling in my neck, like spiders crawling up my throat, at the thought of being surrounded by all that bottomless water. Nope, can't do it. Not even for the possibility of skin-on-skin contact. In my imagination, life vests or wetsuits don't exist, and I'd snuggle up right behind him, my breasts pressing against his back, my arms circling his middle, fingers tracing the hard ridges of his abdomen before gripping him for support. I know, but maybe another time. Oh, by the way, we're organizing a bonfire tonight. Having finished my muffin, I rub my hands together in excitement. I'm dying for s'mores. I can roast marshmallows like nobody's business. I even have my specialty.
Oh?
Wait and see. It's delicious. He swallows, a playful glint in his eyes.
I bet.
Holy Pop-Tarts and cupcakes. Is he flirting? Even if he is, I'm handling it.
I bet everything you make is delicious.
Still handling it. That slippery path feels like a steep glide. But stop just because I'm going down in flames? Not my style. Do you even like marshmallows? I inquire.
I'll love yours.
Folks, Alex Westbrook is flirting with me. It's official, and I can't lie to myself. I'm not handling it anymore.